It's a tremendous honor and privilege to be here tonight with you. There's a lot we could go into as far as detail goes, but I don't want to do that tonight. There's a lot of emotion in me. I grew up here. The first 12 years of my life, I spent running these halls, making some of your lives really miserable. So thank you for putting up with me. And but as you can tell from the accent, it's been 20 years in the South, so I've almost doubled it up. So I thank the Lord for what He's done in my life. He's given me a tremendous wife that loves the Lord, a daughter that say what you want. She's 3 years old, but I know she loves the Lord as well. I can see it in her. We read the Bible with her every night. We pray with her. We ask her questions about the Bible every night. And I would encourage as parents to do that with your children. Teach them. Put that seed. Plant that seed now. And it's just a blessing to watch her grow up. And we have another one coming, Lord willing, in March. So God has been really good to me and my family. This is just a great honor to be here tonight, church. I can't explain it. Take your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 with me, if you will. There's just a lot of childhood memories for me here, and it's just a very special thing for me to be here this evening. Amen. And I think those things are good. I think emotions are good, and I think they can be good. But I want you to know I'm here tonight to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here tonight. I stand here tonight to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here. That's what I do. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the message that I love. This has been such a great evening to be here tonight. The singing has been tremendous. I mean, I can think of no better place to be than right here, right now. Romans chapter 1, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17 is where we want to start tonight. The Apostle Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, where? In the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I am a debtor tonight, just as the Apostle Paul was here in Romans chapter 1. I am a debtor to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called me to be a preacher of the gospel. And so whether I'm speaking at my home church or whether I'm speaking in a visiting church like I am tonight, although I'm like, Brother Pat, I consider this place home, I always will. Wherever I am indebted to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my obligation. God has entrusted to me as a preacher the gifts, the ability to preach the Word of God, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is what I do. And I don't make any excuses for it. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I'm like Paul. I do it unashamedly. I pronounce the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because I believe, like Paul believed, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I believe within the gospel of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I believe in the power of the gospel tonight. And so this evening, I want to preach on that power. That's why we're here. We've heard it over and over. If anything was a confirmation in my heart tonight, it was what I heard over and over. We shall see Jesus tonight. We would see Jesus tonight. Let Jesus be magnified. Let Jesus be glorified. Let Jesus be lifted up. Because who are we tonight? Who are we? What do we deserve tonight? What do we deserve? Let's lift up Jesus Christ. Pray with me tonight as we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. There's one thing that continued to go through my mind over and over as I prepared for this meeting, as I prepared to be here tonight. There's one main theme that kept running through my heart. I am so privileged to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, God, it's been good to see faces I haven't seen for over 20 years. Yes, God, it's been good to step back into this church house where I was raised, where I got saved upstairs, right above me, right upstairs is where I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and I was justified by faith alone. Yes, God, all that is great and good, but I am so thankful tonight to be able to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for those that have come out tonight, Lord. They're tired. They're worn out. They've worked all day. They've battled traffic. They've battled elements. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're battling principalities tonight. We're battling spiritual wickedness in high places. We're battling Satan and his army of darkness tonight. But we've got a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And I know, God, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world tonight. And so I pray that Jesus Christ would be magnified, lifted up and glorified as His gospel be proclaimed tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go over to Romans chapter 3 if you will. I want to preach on the doctrine of justification by faith alone tonight. I love that doctrine. I love justification by faith alone. I'm so thankful that that is found in the Word of God. It thrills my soul. There's no greater message I can think to preach than preaching on being justified by faith alone. And I'll look at four things tonight when it comes to this doctrine, this precious doctrine of justification. Number one, I want to look at the importance of justification. The importance of justification. Number two, I want to look at the definition of justification. Number three, the heart of justification. And fourth and final, the application of justification. And I'm sure as I just went over this outline that I've prepared tonight, I'm sure you've heard it all before. I'm sure you've heard it over and over and over again. But bear with me tonight, please, as you hear it one more time, if you will. Please allow me to preach on this beautiful doctrine, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of justification by faith alone. I want to tell you first and foremost why I believe that it's important that we understand and hear a message on the doctrine of justification. Why the importance of justification tonight? Why is this message relevant for you? I mean, you've battled work all day. You've probably battled co-workers. You've battled being weary and worn out. And you've battled the elements today. And you battled the traffic to get over here. Now, what am I going to say that's relevant for you, that can meet you right where you're at tonight? Because that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to meet you right where you're at tonight. So what about this doctrine of justification? What about it is so important? What can this doctrine do for your life tonight? And the answer to that question is so simple. It is the center of the gospel. Justification by faith alone is the heart. It is the heart of the gospel. Without justification, there is no gospel. There is no gospel tonight. Without justification tonight, God is just. Amen? But He's not the justifier of the ungodly. And that's where we're met tonight. Ungodly. God is the justifier of the ungodly tonight. And so I think that meets every one of us right where we're at. I think that's the most important message that we could ever hear. That God would justify sinners. That God would justify the ungodly. Or maybe we're not ungodly tonight. Maybe we're okay. Bless God. This is surreal. I'm telling you, this is surreal. I know. I mean, really, bless God. Praise His name tonight that He would allow me to stand in this church and proclaim the gospel. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. Apostle Paul goes on to say, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely, being justified freely by His grace. Oh, I love that little three-word phrase, by His grace. Being justified freely because we deserved it through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, right? Being justified freely because we worked really hard for it through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, right? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. The law of faith leaves us no room to boast tonight. No room to boast in ourselves tonight. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, I would love to, but I simply do not have the time to exegetically go through this passage and preach on it verse by verse. I'd love to do that, but I can't do that tonight. That's not what the Lord would have. So I want to try and give you a little context of what Paul is saying here. He spent the first three chapters of Romans, and I know you know this, but he's been explaining to man their guilt before God. That man is guilty. That man is sinful. That man is wretched. And they're guilty before God, our Creator and Maker. It doesn't matter tonight if you're Jew, if you're Gentile, wise, unwise, black, white, yellow, red, whatever color you may be tonight, Romans 3:19 is for all of us. It says, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Go back up and see what Paul says in verse 9. He says the same thing. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. But then, in verse 21 and following, Paul begins to unpack for us the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel. After taking three chapters in explaining to us our guilt before God, explaining to us that there is none righteous, no, not one, explaining to us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He could have just left us there. God could have just left us there, you understand? But Paul begins to unpack the precious truths, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that good news is this. There is a righteousness tonight that can declare unrighteous man just in the sight of God. There is a righteousness tonight that can count us acceptable to God. There is a righteousness tonight that can declare us just in the sight of God. But that righteousness is not found in us tonight. That righteousness is not ours tonight. Our own righteousness. By works of the law, you see. It's found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus tonight. Then we got to look outside of ourselves and look to that cross and look to the suffering Savior dying for our sins so that we might be made righteous. In Him. In Him. It's the righteousness that is outside of us. It's the righteousness that the Bible makes clear that we need. And I don't know about you tonight, but I can't think of any more tremendous news than what I'm just saying this evening, or what Paul is telling us, is that we don't have to present our righteousness to God tonight. On judgment day, I don't have to stand before God and say, here's my pitiful display of righteousness. Isaiah 64, 6, all of it, every last bit of it, is what? Filthy rags. And what are we going to do presenting to God our filthy rags? I'm glad I don't have to do that tonight. I'm glad that I don't have, I mean, we've already heard, we live in a society where you turn on the televangelist and he tells you how wonderful you are, and he tells you just, you know, how much self-esteem we should have. But let me tell you something, your wonderfulness, your righteousness, your self-esteem is not going to count you just before God one day. It's just not. Thankful for that. I'm thankful tonight that my righteousness and my self-esteem doesn't count me righteous before God. That's my problem tonight. That's my problem. Our righteousness, our self-esteem. But there is a righteousness tonight outside of ourselves. There is a righteousness that can reckon us righteous in the sight of God. I like that word reckon because I'm 20 years in the South. Brother Pat, Sister Debbie, you guys will get used to that word. I promise you will. And this is what Paul begins to unpack for us here in Romans chapter 3. And he goes on to say that righteousness is found in Jesus Christ alone. And he says it's by His grace through the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we can be justified tonight. And then he says in verse 26 there in Romans chapter 3, he says that, I mean, after hearing all this, God is not only the justifier of sinners, He's not only the justifier of the ungodly, but He's just in this plan of redemption. Now, if there's one thing that shouldn't be a real shock to us here tonight, it's the fact that God is always just. God is always. Whether He had a plan of redemption or not, God is always just. God's justness did not hinge on whether He had a plan of redemption for fallen man. That's grace that enabled Him to do so. He was not obligated to do so. Let me say that again. He wasn't obligated to give us Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve Jesus Christ. This was not something that God's arm was being twisted here. This is something by His grace. By His grace. We didn't deserve justification, but by His grace, in His infinite grace and mercy, as only God Almighty could do, He enacted a plan of redemption by justification to where He could be both just and the justifier of the ungodly. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ tonight. This is why I love grace. This is why I love the gospel. It's pure grace. That God would bring a plan of redemption to fallen man through justification tonight. It's pure grace. That God would give us Romans 3 verses 21 through 28 tonight. It's pure grace. This is the importance of justification. It is important that you understand that God, as only God could do, He came up with a plan of redemption for us as fallen, wicked sinners. I'd say that's pretty important. He made a way. He made a way for you to be counted righteous before Him tonight. What else is more important? Listen, He's going to get fired, okay? I'm sorry. And I hate to tell you this. I lived here for 12 years, but you forget, some of you, I was born in Ohio, so my team was the cause of it. And I'm really sorry about that. I really am. Because I think he's a class guy. But whether he keeps his job as Yankee manager or not, this is more important. I just turned about half of them off to me, brother. Amen. Why is justification important tonight? It's the heart of the gospel. Without it, there is no gospel. And you know what? If you don't have a clear understanding of justification, you'll never have a clear understanding of sanctification. You'll never have a clear understanding. And I'm going to explain to you what the difference between... I know you know that. I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but just as a reminder, because we want to see Jesus one more time. Yeah. If you don't get justification right, then you won't get sanctification right. And I think a lot of believers that have truly been born again are struggling in their sanctification because they struggle to get justification. They don't grasp it. That doesn't mean they haven't been saved, because I don't believe you have to understand it all to be saved. Amen? I don't think you have to understand it all to be converted to Christ. As a 5-year-old child, God converted me to the Lord Jesus Christ right up above us. But I do believe as you grow in your faith, you come to a fuller understanding of what justification is, and sanctification begins to make more sense to you. You heard it tonight. Our purpose is the glory of God. That's why we're here, to glorify God. And I believe with all my heart tonight, He has been glorified. He has been glorified. How's it been done? Your voices were raised in praises and honor to the King. You had a part in glorifying God tonight. It's not all just about the preacher. It's not all just about me tonight. It's nothing about me. I'm just standing and proclaiming a simple message of the gospel. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this is why I believe justification is very important to us tonight. And so that takes us now to our second point. Now that we've seen why the doctrine of justification is important, let's define it and learn more about it. Look over at Romans chapter 8, if you will. I know most of you already understand this and know what it means, and you have an understanding of the beauty of the doctrine, but let's just re-examine what it means for just a short while. We don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this second point, because if you've been paying any attention at all, and I believe you have, you pretty much heard me explain what the doctrine of justification is. But let's just examine it in a little more detail for just a moment. When we talk about justification, are we simply talking about salvation? Yes, justification means salvation. But you have to understand, not every time you see that word salvation does it refer to justification. For example, Paul talks in Romans chapter 13, we're not going to turn there, but he says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the complete glorification, the redemption of our bodies, when we will be with our Lord. He's not talking about our justification in Romans chapter 13. He's talking about our glorification, just as he is in Romans chapter 8 when he says our bodies one day will be redeemed. So the point I'm trying to make in helping you understand what justification is and how the Scripture defines it, because it doesn't matter how I define it, we want to know what the Bible says about it, amen? We want to know what God says about justification. So to help us understand that, every time you see that word justification, to think that just that every time you see the word salvation and think that it means justification or sanctification, those gospel terms have different elements to them that we need to understand as Christians. It's essential that we understand these things. Though put together, they all make up the salvation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean they all mean the same thing. Let me show you this from Scripture. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, or 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, for example, Paul makes it very clear and plain that justification and predestination are two very different things in these two verses. And though they both have to do with our salvation, they have different meanings to them. Paul makes it clear and plain that being called and being justified, though tied together to salvation, they're not saying the same thing. Paul also makes it clear that justification and glorification do not have the exact same meaning in every passage of Scripture. So it's important that we understand that so that we can say, so what does justification mean? What is it referring to? What is justification saying to me? How does it relate to our salvation? Well, you know this. Justification is the legal aspect of the gospel. You understand that tonight. It's a forensic term. If you're familiar with that term, you understand that's a court. Do we have any lawyers? Anybody that works in the courtroom tonight? It's a courtroom term. Johnny, are you still working in the courtroom? Okay. He understands that. It's a word that refers to legal proceedings. So when we look at the word justification, when it comes to our sin, when it comes to our individual sin, when it comes to the personal sins that we commit, when it comes to original sin, when we look at this, whose courtroom are we being called into? Are you being called into the courtroom of man? Supreme Court justice calling you in? You standing before them on judgment day? Absolutely not. You're going to stand and I'm going to stand before God Almighty one day. We're going to stand in God's courtroom one day. And can I tell you what justification is? As we're called into God's courtroom, God is the judge that we stand before. And justification is the legal aspect of God's gospel. And when we understand the word, we see that it means that God can look at sinners. I want you to listen to this. God can look at sinners. He can look at rebels like you and me. And He can declare us just and righteous. He can declare us fit for heaven. You have a legal right. If you've been justified by faith alone, you have a legal right to enter into heaven tonight. You do. Do you believe that? Because if you don't, you're just throwing the finished work of Jesus Christ out. Are you in Christ? Then you have the right to be in heaven with Christ. Amen. And you're not going to be there as a sinner. You're going to be there as a justified, righteous child of God. Join heir. We sang it tonight, didn't we? Why? Because we're saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood. Because we deserve it? No. Because we've done something to earn it? No. Because we're saved by the blood of the crucified one. You have a right to be in heaven tonight because the blood of Jesus Christ says you do. If you've been justified by faith in this gospel. It's the work that God does in declaring sinners to be righteous. Counting sinners to be righteous. Reckoning, there's that word again. Reckoning sinners to be righteous. When in reality, we're not righteous. We're sinners. That's what we forget. We're rebels. But God does a work for us. And that work is called justification. I don't ever get tired of talking about it. I don't. God does a work for me by His grace. Because I can bring all my righteousness to Him. And He says, what is this? What is this? I don't need this. I don't right now, outside of these walls, thousands and thousands and millions of people are working for justification. Trying to bring their filthy rags to God and saying, this is how I expect to be declared righteous. This is how I expect to be counted righteous. God says, what are you doing? I've given it to you freely by my grace. So where is boasting? By the law of works? Well, if you could earn it, you come right up on up here and take over and go ahead and boast. You can't do it. And I can't do it. This is a work
that Jesus Christ has done for us. And can I tell you, there is no semi-justification. Okay? There is no partial justification. It's still about you have to be made righteous before you can be counted righteous. What is that? That's why you got people out here running around like chickens with their heads cut off trying to earn their salvation. They're trying to make themselves good enough so that now I can finally be declared righteous in God's sight. Now I can finally be justified. But my question is, where is that point tonight? How far do they have to go? You're here tonight and you're working for it. When does it stop? I'll tell you when it stops. At the foot of an old rugged cross. There used to be. Where is it? That's a long time ago. That's counted righteous by God. That's what justification is. Now let me put the distinction between justification and glorification before we move on to our third point. Before we move on, let me put that distinction between justification and sanctification, because it can be oh so confusing if you don't put a separation on gospel words such as justification and sanctification. One, justification is what we're talking about tonight. That's something that God does for us. You can't do it. I mean, if you're here tonight and you're lost, that's the starting point. You can't do it. So long as you keep trying, so long as you keep trying, my dear friend, I have horrible news for you. One day you will hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." So stop trying. That's what the gospel tells us. What are you doing? Trying to earn it? Stop! Stop! Because it's something that God does for us. It's an act of God's free grace in our lives. It happens in a moment of time, justification does. In a moment of time it happens. Sanctification, on the other hand, is something that God does in us. You know that. It's something that God does. It's a work. It's also a work of God's free grace. But it's something that happens over a gradual period of time. And it won't be complete until we get our resurrected bodies. So remember that. Justification, something God does for us. Sanctification, something God does in us. Justification, an act of God's free grace in our lives. Sanctification, an act of God's free grace in our lives. Justification, instantaneous. Isn't that great? The moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification is a gradual process in the life of a believer. Now here's where the problem comes onto the scene. You may not see the real big deal in understanding the separation between justification and sanctification this evening, but I submit to you in this matter of salvation, there's a huge difference between the two. And the reason that a lot of believers, listen just for a moment, the reason that a lot of believers in Christ have no victory and have no joy and have no peace and no assurance in their lives is because they don't understand the difference between justification and sanctification. They have no idea what justification is. And so a lot of believers look at the gradual process of sanctification in their lives and they see how they fail so miserably. They see how far we fall short of the glory of God. And we look at that as our means of righteousness. And folks, that's a black hole. It really is. As long as we're looking at ourselves for justification, to be counted righteous in Christ, your life. Oh, you can be born again by God's grace, but your life. There's no growth. There's no sanctification. You're looking at the wrong thing. Instead of having our eyes firmly fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel, our eyes stay fixed on ourselves. If you're going to be justified tonight, you're going to have to look away from yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe if you're going to be sanctified tonight, you're going to have to look away from yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle or Luke says that over in Acts. We're sanctified by faith in Christ. We forget that. I got to stop because I don't want to start preaching on sanctification tonight. But I think there's a huge understanding that we need to come to here to understand. You got to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work for us. That's what we got to keep our eyes on tonight. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles over to Romans chapter 5. This takes us to our third point this evening. We've looked at the importance of justification. We've looked at how to define justification. And now we want to look at the heart of justification. I trust I'm not boring you tonight. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Justification is what makes the heart tick. I mean, it's what makes the gospel tick. We went to the doctor a couple weeks ago, and Amelia heard the baby's heartbeat, and that was really neat for her. She really got a blessing out of that. But ever since then, a couple weeks ago, for about 2 or 3 weeks, she's been saying, every now and then she'll point to her heart and say, "My heart's not beating. My heart's not beating. My heart's not beating." And I kept thinking, why is she saying this? And Kim finally told me it's because she remembers the baby's heartbeat. And what we tell her, honey, if your heart wasn't beating, you'd be dead. What else can you tell? That's the lie? Huh? And I want you to know something tonight. If the heart of justification is not beating, there's no gospel. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. Oh, we like to blame Adam, don't we? Let's beat up on Adam. We wouldn't have done that same thing. One man. This is one man sin entered into the world. And yes, I mean, Adam was representing us there in the Garden of Eden, but let's understand we would have done the same thing there. Do we understand that tonight? One man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Justification. That lets me know grace is a lot bigger than our sin tonight. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of what? Say it. Grace. Say it again. Grace. And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Say it. Jesus Christ. Wherefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But say this with me, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Glory! That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't get excited by this thing called the gospel. We don't get excited by God's grace. Because we forget. It's been so well said tonight. Not only do we forget the day we came to Christ by faith alone, but we forget what we were before we did come to Christ. Don't we? We forget. This is such tremendous news. God has come up with a remedy. A remedy for sin tonight. Our sin. Personal sin. Individual sin. Original sin. God has come up with a remedy for that tonight. We read here in Romans chapter 5 that Adam's sin was imputed to us, counted against us. That's what it means. Adam was acting as our representative. That doctrine of representation is found all through Scriptures. When David went to fight Goliath, who was he going to battle for? For himself? He was going to battle for the people. And Goliath was going to battle for his people. You see, it was a battle of one man against one man. Representative against representative. That's the way God set it up in the Garden of Eden. That's the way He set it up. Adam was representing us. You may not like that, but Romans 5 makes it clear. We think, well, that's not fair. What if I'd have been there? God didn't put you there, did He? God didn't put me there, did He? God put Adam there. God put Adam there. The God of gods never does wrong. He's never unjust. He's never unfair. So Adam was acting as our representative, and he sinned and rebelled against God. And that sin was not only imputed, which means counted against us. It wasn't only imputed to Adam, but it was imputed to us as well. It was counted against the whole human race. That's why everybody is guilty tonight in the sight of God. Not to mention our sin that we commit every day. And this is what takes us to our need for justification. I often get a kick out of people saying, well, I could do it. I could do it. I could be perfect and righteous. I could do it. You know what I say? You know what I let them say? Or I say to them, go ahead. You know what? I'll grant you that. Got a big problem hanging over your head here, Romans 5 tells us. What you going to do about that? Because you were built guilty, and I was guilty when we came into this world. What are we going to do about that? You go ahead and live your perfect and righteous life. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Doesn't take much, does it? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Guilty. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Guilty. I'm serious. I'm serious. And you see, that's the mindset the Pharisees started getting. That's why Jesus began to expound more on the law there in Matthew chapter 5. Whosoever looketh on a woman to commit to lust after her heart has committed adultery. Well, I've never done it. I've never done the act, the Pharisees were saying. And Jesus went a little bit deeper. I've never killed. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. Guilty, 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 guilty. And so, doesn't this just make the doctrine of justification so sweet tonight? Amen, brother.
Amen.
Why would He do this for us? Why? For me. We were over at Woodbridge Mall today, and my sweet southern wife saw her first transvestite. That was an experience. I just did all I could to keep Amelia from staring, because she would have said something. She'd have said something. He, she, whatever, can be justified by faith tonight. Why? But you know, that's what we like to do. Oh, the transvestites, the homosexuals, this and that. Whosoever breaketh the law in one point is guilty of all. And so this meets us right where we're at tonight. Go over to 2 Corinthians. Let's get out of Romans for just a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what theologians would call double imputation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Not that I'm trying to pretend to be a theologian tonight, but look at what it says. For He, God the Father, hath made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Amen. Now we're getting to the heart of the matter tonight. Now we're understanding how God can be just and the justifier of the ungodly, because He took our sins and placed them on His spotless Son. So that I could be justified. He counted Jesus Christ as a sinner on that cross. The Father reckoned the Son to be a sinner on that cross. Do we understand that? In our place, in our stead, on that cross. Every single sin we've ever committed, He poured His wrath out upon Jesus Christ for that. But by His grace, look over 1 Peter 3. I've got to cut some of this out so I can let you go home tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Our sins were reckoned to the account of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, guys. I'm making your life miserable back there. I apologize. I go up and down in this thing. I'm sorry about that. But our sins were reckoned to the account of Jesus Christ, and that's why He came and died. We can talk all we want about all these ways of being justified tonight. We can talk all we want about all these ways, this and that, and this and that. But if you're justified this evening, you stand just because your sins were counted against the Lord Jesus Christ in your place. That's the gospel. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Galatians chapter 3 says He was placed under the curse of the law to redeem us who were under that curse. He took that curse for us. He bore every drop of it. Every last drop of blood He bore in our drained it. He drained the wrath of God in our stead. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. Oh, dear God in heaven, just help us to get just a little bit of understanding of what that means tonight. That it could have pleased You to count Jesus in my place on that cross, so that I could have a home in heaven, so that I could be justified tonight. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused Him pain? Yeah. For me, to Him who death pursued. Amazing love, Pastor Mike. Amazing love. How can it be Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He was spotless.
That's right.
Amen. He's totally free from sin. But He came down to this earth, born of a woman, made under the law, so that He could keep it in our stead, so that we might have a righteousness to present before our Heavenly Father. You see that? Not only was the Son made sin for me, but when I'm justified by faith, I'm counted in the Son's place. Why? Because He's done all the work for me. It is finished, He could cry. There's nothing left to do. He bore my sin. He took my place. He kept the law for me. It's such an amazing thing. Listen, the next time you wonder whether Jesus Christ loves you, you just remember He died for you. On that cross, He hung naked and ashamed, bruised and beaten. You couldn't even tell He was a man. The Bible says His visage was so marred. What is the wages of sin? Were those His sins He was dying for? Don't ever forget that. Sometimes we get to where we just question the love of God. What we need to do is get our eyes back at Calvary.
Amen.
Those weren't ours. Those weren't His sins He was dying for. That was my wretchedness. That was my filth. So why are you still trying to do something tonight when He's done it all? See, this is the heart of justification tonight. Look over at Romans chapter 4, and I'm about done tonight. I know you already know this, but if you're justified tonight by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work, you are so blessed.
Amen.
That's not me telling you that either. Look what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 4 and verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. How is that possible? That we could have a righteousness counted to us without us doing anything? Because we get our out of the way. We get our righteousness out of the way. We get ourselves out of the way. And we say, it's the righteousness of Christ that I need. It's the righteousness of Christ that counts me righteous before God. And it was by one man's obedience. By one man's obedience. You see, this is the heart of justification. I have perfect standing in Christ tonight. Perfect standing. I'm not telling you I'm perfect tonight. I'm far from it. But my standing in Christ Jesus will never change. It'll never change. When you came to Him by faith alone, you were joined in union with Him. In union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you became one with Him. You're in Christ. Therefore, when the Father looks at us, He sees the Son. When the Father looks at me, He sees the blood. When the Father looks at me, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. And I thank God for that. I wouldn't have it any other way. Many Christians fail to see this. They're looking at their works and their deeds. You see, they fall back into that Galatians 5. Paul tells us, why are you falling back into that bondage? Christ freed you from that bondage.
Amen, sir.
He freed you from it. He said, I've kept the law in your place. It's by my obedience that you're counted righteousness, not by your obedience. It's by my obedience, Christ says. By one man's obedience is that we're counted righteous. It's the finished work of Christ alone.
Yeah.
We would see Jesus. Here He is.
Amen.
He's done it all. He's accomplished it all. It is finished.
Amen.
And we go back to Romans 5 and we look at Adam representing us there in the Garden of Eden. And many people say, I don't like that. That's not fair. I don't like that. I don't like that God counts me a sinner because of what one man, Adam, did. But what you're missing is that justification is the same way. If you don't like that, then you won't like the fact that God can only count you righteous in one man, the God-man, Christ Jesus, the last Adam. You see, He came and took care of Adam's mess and my mess. Blessed is the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works tonight. Blessed is the man, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is it. This is the true gospel of Jesus Christ tonight. My question is, what are you trusting? What are you trusting in tonight for your justification? What are you trusting in to be counted righteous before Christ, before God? Where is your foundation? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. See, that's the application. That's my fourth point, if you remember. That's the application. You come to Christ. You come to Him alone. You repent and turn from self. And you know what you say? I can't do it. But it is finished. Arise, my soul, arise.
Yeah.
Shake
Amen.
Off thy guilty fears.
Yes.
The bleeding sacrifice
yeah.
in my behalf appears.
Amen.
Before the throne my surety stands. Before the throne my surety stands. My name is written on His hand.
Amen.
Can we sing that? Can we sing that? Because I'm done. I'm done. See, this is the gospel. What are you trusting in tonight? What are you trusting in? Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that Your Spirit of God would do a mighty work. Oh, please. Do a mighty work in our midst. Lord, there's some here tonight. They've been clinging to their righteousness. They've been clinging to their works. They've been clinging to their goodness. Oh God, let them let it go tonight. Come to Calvary. See a suffering Savior who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus Christ. Turn from self. Turn from self and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust His righteousness alone, for that alone is the only thing that can justify you tonight before God Almighty. And that's what we need. Pastor Mike.
We are going to sing that song in a moment, but let's just keep our heads bowed for a second, if you would. And I just wonder tonight, what a message. Praise the Lord for that message. And I wonder tonight, where do you stand where do you stand tonight? Do you stand before the Lord justified by His grace tonight? Are you justified tonight before the Lord? What a clear presentation of that wonderful truth. You know, no matter who you are here tonight, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you stand justified before God. Are you thankful for that tonight? Can you thank the Lord tonight? If you're saved tonight, you ought to be one thankful Christian right now. You ought to be one thankful Christian right now. I know everybody in this room's got problems. But I'll tell you what, the biggest problem you ever had, the only one taking you to hell was that one. And Jesus Christ solved that one. And if that one's solved, you ought to be one happy Christian here tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have that standing. Maybe here tonight you're still trying to go about and obtain your own righteousness. Maybe you're still trying. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, as the preacher said tonight, stop. Just stop. Stop. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits? Doesn't the Bible say, what are you supposed to do? Just take the cup of salvation. Just take what He did for you. And you partake of that. Drink. Take it. Receive it. Would you do that tonight? I wonder, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if there is, maybe not. Maybe everybody in this room tonight is saved and justified and thankful. But if there's one here tonight who could say, I'm not sure I am. I can't really say for sure that I am justified tonight before God. If I stood in the courthouse of heaven tonight, and God, that supreme judge, if I stood before Him tonight, I'm not sure how it would be with me. I don't know that I would be saved. Is there anyone tonight you'd say, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm justified tonight, but I would appreciate your prayers. Is there anyone like that tonight? Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. Man or woman, boy or girl, is there anyone tonight you'd say, I'm not sure that I really stand before the Lord tonight justified? If you're not sure, could we pray for you in this room tonight? The Lord does the work. There's nothing we can do except pray for you and pray that God will open your heart to that truth and help you to receive it tonight. But we can pray for you, and God hears the prayers of His people. Could we pray for you tonight? Is there anyone like that at all? You say, I'm not sure that I'm saved tonight. Please pray for me. Here's my hand. Just slip it up and put it right back down. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Give you a minute. Don't miss this opportunity. You're not here tonight by accident. And that message was not preached tonight by chance. That's what God wanted you and I to hear tonight. And if you needed to hear that tonight because maybe you're the one the Lord was seeking to save tonight, maybe you're the one. Is there anybody like that in this room? If you're the one, do not walk out that door. Do not walk out that door after what the Lord brought you tonight. Will you let us pray for you? Will you let the Lord save you tonight? Will you let us pray and let the Lord Jesus Christ justify you tonight? Anyone at all, lift your hand up and put it right back down. All right. Then I'm assuming everyone in this room tonight can rejoice tonight because you are justified before God. What a blessing. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You so much for that message. We thank You so much for the truth of sound doctrine. Lord, what a blessing it is to our hearts, Lord, the truth of what You've done for us. Thank You for our Savior. Thank You that He was willing to bear all of our sin and drink the cup of Your wrath. Thank You, Father, for what You've done for us. And thank You for what You are doing in us, Lord, that sanctifying process of Your grace. And after all You did for us, Lord, help us to want that sanctification with all our heart. We just rejoice in Thee tonight, Lord. Thank You for letting us see You tonight. And I just pray, even as we sing this hymn now, Lord, may our hearts just be lifted up to Thee. And may we be a blessing to You tonight. Thank You for all You've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. What number is that, brother?
223.
Get your hymn book and let's lift this up to the Lord tonight. Sing it with all your heart, will you? Sing unto the Lord.
223. Come on, join us now. Join. Arise, my soul, arise. Take off thy guilty fear, the bleeding sacrifice. Before the throne, my surety stands before. My name is written on His hand. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love. The throne of grace, five bleeding wounds He bears, received on Calvary, they poured effectual prayers. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. The Father hears him pray. His dear anointed one, he cannot turn away the presence of his Son. And tells me I am born of God. Come on now, join! One more time, join! And Father, Father, cry.
Amen.
Woo. Man, weren't you glad you were here tonight? This has been a blessing. Pray for tomorrow night. Pray for the preaching. Pray for those that may be here unsaved tomorrow night. Just pray for the Lord to do a work in our midst, okay? As we meet together like this. It's a sweet time, isn't it? Thank you for the message tonight, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thank the Lord for His wonderful word.
Yes.
Rich doctrine tonight. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's be dismissed in prayer. Our Father, Lord, thank You.